I think the fireworks overpowered our system there. It's all right, right? Glory to God. We can do a lot of good things with that big screen, can't we? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to be doing a decree in a little while, so I want to go ahead and just bear with me today. We have a little bit different agenda. So how many of you were able to watch Flashpoint from Atlanta, Georgia? None of you did. So one, a couple of you did. All right, you need to go on YouTube, not YouTube, but Facebook. And I don't think they carry it on YouTube this time because it's too political. But anyway, it was from Atlanta, Georgia, big arena and powerful, powerful, power. I would encourage you to go to your Facebook and look up Flashpoint. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many thousands of people they had in that arena, plus online viewing and so on and so forth. And that was Friday, July 1st, okay, that took place. So you can look that up. But we're going to put a QR code up there. How many of you know what a QR code is? Okay. Take a picture of that, and you can actually download the Watchman Decree that they prayed. And for those of you that are not technical, we have some hard copies in the back, the information booth you can take with you today. Pastor Judy's going to come up, and we're going to do this together in a few moments, okay? Hallelujah. Because we are watchmen. Amen? Amen. See, when you talk about separation of church and state, the separation of church and state was never meant for the church to stay out of government. It was meant for the government to stay out of church. Amen? And so God is stirring up the church of Jesus Christ, the real body of Christ, to pray this nation back, amen, to where it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. You notice that one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what it's all about. And I'm telling you, God is not through with this nation. God is going to repair it. God is going to turn things around. And we're going to see the greatest awakening that this nation has ever seen. Amen? God's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Just a few scriptures I want to share with you in Psalms chapter 33. Did you put the QR code up there? Okay, everybody got it? I didn't see you. I didn't look behind me, so okay. You're just supposed to take a picture of it, put your photo on there, and it will bring up that site, okay? Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible, Psalm 33, verse 12, it says this: Blessed, fortunate, and prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance. And I believe God has chosen the United States of America. You know, we are the only nation that has a constitution. Amen. Put that picture up there of that I sent you guys. Amen. That based on the Bible, the Word of God, and our founding fathers, there were actually a lot of clergy was involved, ministers involved in the forming and working the Constitution of the United States. So it was founded on godly principles. Amen. And praise God that we have that document. I know a lot of people want to get rid of that document, but it's a document along with the Word of God that's going to change this nation and bring it back to the powerful, in God we trust nation that it was. Hallelujah. Because I like this scripture. It says, Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I know a lot of them don't proclaim that. They're trying to get rid of Christianity. They're trying to close churches. And that was a whole scheme of you know, 2020, close up as many churches and keep them closed. But I'll tell you what, the church is alive and well today and more powerful than it's ever been. Hallelujah. In fact, it woke up the church. Hallelujah. It woke up the church. Glory to God. into the place of prayer. You've seen all those many, many thousands of people gathered there in Atlanta, Georgia. And they were on fire. I mean, they wanted America back. Hallelujah. Better than it's ever been. And we're not a perfect nation. There's been issues all through since the beginning of our nation. But God has had us. You know, we have been the nation that has sent more missionaries into the world than any other nation. Amen. Propagated the gospel all over this land, all over the world. Hallelujah. And so, you know, amen. God honors that. And he raised us up for that purpose, for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are the people that he has chosen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are favored. We're fortunate, favored, and prosperous. And another scripture, it says that this, Proverbs 29:2. And this Solomon wrote this. It says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. Let me say that again. When the godly are in authority, people rejoice. What does that mean? We've got to get godly people back into the offices, that whether what local level, all the way to the national level, we need to make sure that they are God-fearing men and women, hallelujah, that love the Bible, praise God, and that love the Constitution of the United States. So it says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. And this nation's going to rejoice again. But when the wicked are in power, the gas prices go up. No, just kidding. They groan. Have any of you ever groaned filling your gas tank up? It's not groaning in the spirit either. It's just your wallet reacts. Glory to God. Amen. But see, that's true. We've got to get godly people back in. Praise the Lord. And that's what's so important in this day and age that we live in right now. Now is a season to get active in your prayer life for the nation. Get active in voting in November. Get active in finding out what we need to do. Hallelujah. Attend church. Do pray and even fast. Praise God and rejoice in the fact that God, it might not look like he's in control, but he is. Hallelujah. We need to pray for justice. Glory to God. And then, of course, 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14 is a very prominent scripture that we know. It says this, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. What does God say? He said, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. And the last part is awesome. Restore their land. And I'm telling you, God's people, hallelujah, are waking up. God's people are praying. They are declaring. They are coming together as one. Yeah, we might believe different things as far as doctrinally, but you see people coming together focused on bringing this nation back to where it's supposed to be, one nation under God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God is at work. God will do. The Bible says, if any two shall agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And listen, there are churches all over America this morning that are turning to God, that's using this opportunity, the 4th of July weekend, to bring, praise God, their congregations into this place of praying for this nation and being mindful of the importance of us getting with it. Hallelujah. And stirring ourselves up to pray, vote, believe God. Amen. Use our God-given authority that God's given to us. We have authority in the earth. How many of you know that? Come on. Are you convinced we have authority? He's given us dominion. He's given us dominion and authority. And listen, the powers of darkness are working against this nation. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. As many of us want to sometimes. It's not a physical battle. Yeah, we vote physically, but yet in the spirit is a spiritual battle. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we got to get out of that flesh and blood, because sometimes we Christians might get into sin. Amen?
Because we start judging people when actually, of course, people are being used by the enemy. But the enemy, Daniel, we see that in Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Daniel had fasted for 21 days, and the angel of the Lord finally appeared, and he said there's a prince of Persia has hindered the prayers. And there are hierarchies in the satanic realm, prince and powers of the air that the Bible teaches. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. So we don't wrestle against this party or that party. Forget that. We're wrestling against evil and spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. And we have authority by the blood of Jesus as the church, every denomination. No matter what, we believe that Jesus died on the cross. He was he rose again. We believe we're Christians. We're born again. That's what we're founded on. Hallelujah. We can talk about, debate other things in the Bible. But we believe that Jesus is Lord over this nation. Praise God. So I'm going to ask Pastor Judy to come up. And we're going to say this declaration together. Hallelujah. This decree. And it's powerful. It's powerful. And I encourage you to take it home and pray this in your prayer closet. Decree it every day as a church of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And just in case you might not understand what a decree is and how important it is, I just want to read the definition of a decree, okay? By definition, a decree is an official order issued by a legal authority. Some of you may not realize this, but we are the legal authority. Amen? God has placed us. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're going to take our seat of authority this morning. Amen? And it says, the key part of this definition is legal authority. For a decree to be official, which means it can be executed, the person issuing the decree must have the authority or the right to pronounce the order. Without that authority, a decree is worthless. I could stand up in my house and decree that the speed limit on the highway will be 75 miles per hour instead of 65. While this may be what I want, it is not enforceable because I don't have the legal authority to make that decree. But we do have the legal authority when people decree and declare in prayer. Often they do so under the belief that what they decree, what they declare will come to pass because they have the power in their words. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. And in Job, it says this. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. We have been given authority over all the powers of darkness. And we're seated in heavenly places in the seat of authority. And this morning, we're going to all stand up and we're going to read this decree together as though we're the boss. Amen? Because we are. And we're going to see these things take place. The whole body of Christ all over the world is decreeing this. So I want you to stand with me. And we're going, you can either pull it up on your phone off that QR code. I don't know if you can read this, if it's big enough. Is that as big as we can get it for them to read this? Okay, good. All right, so.
There are paper ones if anybody needs them.
If you need a paper, we have ushers. Raise your hand and they'll give you a sheet
of paper.
We'll
print some more out.
There's a couple on the front row, Diane.
Hallelujah.
There's couple in the middle too, over on this side.
Now, one thing I want to say about this
over here.
One thing I want to say about this decree that it was put together for the purpose of Flashpoint. They felt Gene Bailey felt the importance of doing something rose up in his spirit, and they put this together, and everybody said that in that arena, and it was very powerful. Amen. It was.
Way demon. Over on the left, Mike.
It was demon shaken. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And I'll go 1, 2, 3, and after 3, we're going to start. We're going to say it together. Don't worry if you get off a word. We'll just catch up or get behind or whatever we need to do. But this is important. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? You're starting at the top where it says, as a patriot, right. Ready? One, two, three. As a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation concerning its people and their rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the church, are God's governing body on the earth. We have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority. We are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth. Through the power of God, we are the world influencers. Because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy. We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare and we now take back our God-given freedoms according to our Constitution. We declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us for God. We declare that our nation is energy independent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically. We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or rights in our land, nor over our people. We decree that we will operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation. And we decree that America shall be saved. We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth, therefore we stand for truth and will never be deceived. We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever, ever give up or give in. We will take our country back. We will honor the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved. Working together with Him, we strongly urge you not to receive God's grace in vain by turning away from the sound doctrine and His merciful kindness. For He says, at the acceptable time, the time of grace, I listened to you and I helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Come God. On, lift up your hands Hallelujah. And praise God. Thank you, Pastor Judy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for our nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you just probably think, go ahead and be seated if you're able. Or you think, why did I come to church? It wasn't supposed to be political today. Hallelujah. Oh, God gets upset when the enemy messes with His people. Come on now. And the enemy has been messing with the land that was dedicated to him by the pilgrims. Wow. This land was given. And like I said, we haven't been perfect. Studying American history, we've done a lot of stupid things, even evil things. But God's hand is still on us. You know why? Because there has always been a remnant of people who love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And things are changing in the spirit realm. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I got 10 minutes left, so I'm going to share some things, okay? Hallelujah. Can anybody remember what we started on last week? The message? Unlimited. Limitless. limitless. Glory to God. Amen. It's time to begin thinking that way. And we're limitless as far as the nation is too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go to our foundation scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Amen. We'll give you the word today. Glory to God. We've already had the word for our nation. Let's rejoice and be glad in it for the remainder of this weekend. Hallelujah. You enjoy your barbecue and your fireworks and all your activities, but keep in mind that this nation's coming back to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Okay. This is the Message Bible. It says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide open, spacious life. And we did not fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Amen. And that's kind of what we're talking about as a nation, is what we're talking about as individuals, because things, you know, we talked about this last week, we're always talking about it because people are always bringing up their past and they're limited to what God can do in their future because they are bound to their past. And that enshrouds them. It entangles them in a web of condemnation, in the web of just feeling inadequate, not worthy to have all that God has for them. But listen, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How much is no? No, nothing. There's zero condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And in the beginning of the year, we talked about Ephesians 3:20. I want you to put that up there. Amen. We're going to read this out of a different translation. Last week, we talked about how the Amplified Bible, but this is the Passion Translation. It says this, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish. Now, see, God's power, if you're born again, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God's power is resident in you. In you, God's power, all the power of heaven is on the inside of you, all right? But he says, never doubt. That means doubt is opposite of faith. If we doubt God's power, and condemnation will come in and put a big stop sign there, we can't go any further because, oh, I'm so guilty, I've made bad decisions, I've done this, I've done that, God doesn't love me anymore, I'm not, you know, just God can't use me because of this and that. Think about people, the men and women in the Bible, Old Testament and New, that God used. None of them were perfect. You can't find one perfect person in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Think about that. Even Rahab the harlot was in there. Yeah, come on now. And, you know, there were liars, they were deceivers, but it's funny that God never did bring out the negative side of these people in Hebrews chapter 11. Right, he always said, by faith, this one did this. Right. By faith, that one did that. Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. So it says about Abraham, our father of faith, that Abraham simply believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He simply believed God. And this is what the apostle is saying. Never doubt, never doubt. Say, I will never doubt. Doubting stops today. Doubting stops right here, this very moment. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. And he will achieve. Who's going to achieve? You? He's going to achieve. He's empowered you. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. And I'm telling you what, God is in the mode of outdoing everything that we could ever ask or think. Hallelujah. By the power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Amen. So look at this. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Say this with me. God's miraculous power
constantly energizes me. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he. Glory to God. That's powerful. We've got to get a revelation of that. It's got to get out of our heads and down into our hearts. It's got to be an explosion of that, where we begin to think different. Yeah, you know, I was listening to a message the other day and by a great man of God, and he was talking about how God revealed some things to him about faith even before Kenneth Copeland, before all these other men even got born again. And God told him, he was a youth pastor, and he started teaching his youth that, and then he was called in before the board and said, you can't preach that. That's heresy. Faith. Act like God. Be like God. Talk like God. Are you kidding me? You can't do that. See, that's what the church, religion, taught people. They can't declare and decree like we did today. We have no right and authority. But see, that what was taught generation after generation after generation. And that's why we allowed prayer to get taken out of the school. You wonder why there's school shootings? They kicked God out. And the church sat back and didn't do anything about it. We complained. I remember hearing my parents this is what they're deciding. But nobody took a stand. Nobody, the preachers didn't stand up. The even Christian politicians didn't stand up and say, hey, this is what's going to happen if you take God out of the school. See, God is wanting to be involved in every part of our life. And how we get him involved is, number one, never doubt. Amen? Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish great things. So God is wanting to accomplish great things. Many of you wrote out requests and visions and things in the early part of the year in January when we talked about Ephesians 3:20. But you've laid them aside. You put them aside, or condemnation has kind of knocked you out of the race, or whatever. Your performance hasn't, according to you, lived up to what you think God's expect. You know what God's expectation of you is? Zero. If he was expecting you to pay your own ticket to heaven, he'd never get there. His expectation of you is to don't doubt. Amen. Don't doubt. Woo, glory to God. Praise God. I want to read you a scripture. I'm going to have to skip a couple of things. We'll bring this back next week. But Romans 10:13. We all had to obey this. If you're here today and you're born again. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, salvation is a free gift. And everything after salvation is a free gift. It cannot be earned, it cannot be worked for. It was funny, Pastor Judy talked to me about, this morning on the way, what does real sacrifice look like? Or surrender. And because of my upbringing, I'm thinking about, well, I never watched TV. I never drank coffee. I would never do this. I would never do that. I would never. And what's that? Bondage. But she came from the other side. See, that was my instant thought. Well, for me to totally surrender, total surrender to God, I'd have to give up A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through Z. All right? And that would be on my mind. And if I missed one of those, I would disqualify myself. But she brought it from the way, I'm sharing this. It just came up in the message. She says she can't share anything with me because I'll preach it.
before she does. Why don't you share that part? Because you share it better than me, the way you said it. Come on. This is awesome.
So I just asked him, what would complete surrender look like to him? Complete surrender. And he started naming a lot of things. And I said, no, don't name all these things that everybody else or whatever anybody does. He said, what would complete surrender look like to you? And then he just came up with all the things that, you know, well, I shouldn't watch TV. I should, do this and spend more time here. And it was all these things not to do. But when it came to me, it was like complete surrender to me was not about all the things that I shouldn't do, but it came just spending more time in the Word, seeking the Lord, just being under that presence, just completely surrendering and obeying everything he tells me when the Holy Spirit speaks. Just that complete, and honestly, this just happened this morning in prayer. I just had these thoughts. I don't have this all, thought out. Sometimes you have to seek God a little bit more. But I hit it from complete surrender was like, God, I love you. I'm just going to do whatever, you tell me. It had nothing to do with the not to do's. It was just weird how it hit us so differently,
In other words, falling in love with Jesus and allowing him to totally envelop you in his love will cause these things, these weights to drop off that you won't want to do. Those things. Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if we want Ephesians 3:20, go ahead and put that back up there. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more, amen, than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. So it's not about you, it's about him. It is about him. And I read that scripture for a purpose in Romans 10:13, because that word saved there, and some of you Bible students, you know this, you studied it, is sozo. And it means this. This is really what saved means. It means deliverance. Some of you are looking for deliverance. It's a package deal in salvation. It means to aid, come alongside and aid. It means victory. It means prosperity. It means health. Health. Some of you need health. Healing, salvation. And in the Greek word, it's to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, and do well. And that should be what our life looks like. Amen. We're delivered. We're protected. We're healed. We're preserved. Say, I'm preserved. You've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You've been sealed with the Holy. You've been stamped with God's approval. Hallelujah. And all God wants us to do is not to doubt, but to believe in the work, the finished work of Jesus. It's complete. We sing that song a lot about the blood applied. And that is what it's all about. It comes down to not our performance, but applying the blood, because the blood, praise God, gives us access into the very throne room of God. Hallelujah. It gives us access into the very power of God into our lives. Sin might creep in, but praise God, the blood of Jesus cleanses that. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So you can go before God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Amen. And partake of the blessing that God has purchased for you through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to bow your head this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many of us bound up. We need to be free. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom to be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. But if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Jesus, you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, as we read there in the book of Romans. It says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. What does that mean? You simply believe that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins. That there's no way that through your works of goodness or any other way that you can provide your ticket to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The Bible says, no man cometh to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way, the only way. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, make him the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Number one, you believe that Jesus went to the cross. Number two, you ask him into your heart. You confess him as the Lord of your life. Two things. Simple. You don't have to work for it. You just do what God tells you to do. I want us to pray this prayer together. Will you do that with me, everyone, this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your beloved Son to die on the cross for my sins. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you right now that I've called upon the name of Jesus. Therefore, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We're going to receive the offering. Just rejoice. Happy 4th of July. Have a great time. Enjoy yourself. Don't leave God out of anything. Involve him in everything you do. All the hamburgers you eat, all the hot dogs you eat. Hallelujah. Share some with him.